Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Well, I'm Tim Grady, and I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss, and we're going to be talking today with Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the Non-Manufacturing Report on Business for the Institute for Supply Management in this ISM series. And his report has done a bounce back, Lou, so along with the ISM's Manufacturing Report on Business, we're somewhere in that recovery curve. I don't know if it's a V, a U, a W, or what the heck it is.
I don't know. People are talking about things coming back and so on. With the COVID virus and hundreds, maybe hundreds of thousands of people out in the streets rioting and protesting, I think that we may get fooled by what they've been telling us about the virus going away. I think we're going to see a spike, which is only going to make the ISM reports not as good as they're beginning to come back to life. But we're going to let Mr. Anthony Nieves tell us what's happening in the real world of non-manufacturing, because I don't like what's happening in manufacturing.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. And Lou, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's kind of where we look like we were posed for potentially coming out of this, as we've had two consecutive months of contraction. And that's not counting March, where the first half of the month kind of overshadowed the decline that happened at the tail end of March as COVID started and hitting the economy full swing. And then we saw it in April. May's numbers, the indexes came back a bit, and all that meant was we saw a slowing in the rate of contraction, and indicating that perhaps we had seen the bottom and then there would be recovery after that. Well, what's transpired in the last less than a week has really put a damper on how fast that recovery would happen. And we have many variables in place here as far as, you know, putting aside, not to put aside, but, you know, what's happened with the demonstrators and protesters with social injustice and whatnot has put a crimp on the lifting of restrictions. We had restrictions being lifted, businesses starting to gear up toward opening, and yet it wouldn't be at full capacity. And that in turn impacted the employment picture, because even though we saw a lessening in the number of unemployment claims, capacity wouldn't be where it was before the pandemic hit. Now the restrictions were eased in certain areas, less so in the cosmopolitan, metropolitan areas where there were a large concentration of people and cases. But now, with what's transpired recently, companies have shuttered the doors again because they were afraid of what was going on with the civil unrest and the potential damage and violence associated with it. So putting all that into perspective, when we look at the numbers that came in, you know, the composite index came in at 45.4. Yes, it's a change from last month of 41.8, keeping in mind that the supplier delivery is slowing, still not to the record high of 78.3, but at 67, still slowing. And as we know, the composition for that index, the composite itself, it factors in at 25% supplier delivery. So it kind of gives us a sense of, you know, it's buoying that composite index more so than would normally be the case, as the interruption in the supply chain has affected deliveries more so than actual demand.
In other words, it's not good.
Not good. Could be worse. Again, It looked like we were going, or at least entering that road, that path to recovery. And what's happened, I think, you know, I was asked a question earlier today as far as how do I see the recovery for the economy? And I said, well, we seem like we were on that right track. However, I feel that we'll still recover. All indications were that the latter part of 2020, from our semi-annual forecast plus from comments from our respondents, that we would see the second half being better than the first half. And yet now I think it's going to be the timeline is impacted. So how long will this protract out? And it just depends on what kind of resolutions are reached across the country.
Not to be negative, but I believe that there are other issues that aren't making the news yet because, you know, there's only one or two topics that can really dominate the news. And I think that there's a serious issue rumbling around between China and the U.S. In regards to more tariffs, more retaliation, and so on and so forth. Even though China's PMI was at 50.1, they've got problems. And now there's saber sword rattling between the two leaders. There are things that are still going on that could still negatively further impact us. So, again, not to sound negative, I'm just being pragmatic and realistic.
No, it's a great observation. I think that there's a couple of different factors involved this time around with China versus what we've experienced and had many discussions on this show as far as the trade war. If you look at it today, the difference being with COVID-19 and the origination out of China, what's going on with WHO and, you know, the World Healthcare Organization, and the fact that there wasn't transparency there and all kinds of factors. So the public opinion and business community is more apt to move away from China versus we were split as a country in regards to the approach of the what the administration was doing with China and the trade war. And I think that there's been alternate supply routes developed, not to the full extent. There's still many products and services coming out of China, so we can't discount that. However, again, to further what I said, I think the saber rattling that's going back and forth has got some legs behind it. And even though the China PMI was over 50, you're looking at a country that was experiencing double-digit GDP growth consistently, and that's not the case
right.
at all. They're hurting big time, and it's more of a negative impact to them than it is to us. I mean, and we're feeling things right now, no question about it. You know, with 30 million people unemployed, that's not good. But again, they have as much, if not more, at risk than as this country does.
That's for sure. And that unemployment issue, I think, is still going to continue. And that's not good all around. And I think, did you say 30 million or 40 million?
Well, it's getting up near 40 million, but it was over 30 million.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 40 million this weekend, this Friday. So we'll see how that plays out. So tell us what your folks are on your panel, what they think is going on. It's enough what we think.
Well, I think that here's the challenge, though. As think about what's developed in less than a week, is from what our respondents were thinking all through the month of May to where they are today is a different picture.
Right.
And prior to that, companies were really focusing on strategic planning, strategizing on how to return to normality. How do we resume business? Resumption of business is what the focus was. That was the focal point. And unfortunately, that's been derailed. And, you know, we speak about employment. As restrictions were lifted, we still had in place parameters around, you know, surrounding social distancing and spacing. And so restaurants, accommodation, food services, industry, they were not even going to be near capacity. And less so with hotels and some of the other venues, but more so with restaurants. They need to maximize every bit of square footage. Margins are very tight in that industry. And as I've mentioned numerous times, that payroll outside of food cost, putting aside your fixed cost, but when you look at variable expenses, payroll in a services industry is the single largest controllable expense. And as activity is not reaching capacity, where do they adjust? On the labor side. And so the employment picture is not going to change dramatically as these businesses open, because they're going to be doing with less people, doing things with less people. And we were at, remember the numbers of unemployment before. You know, we were around 3% or less. We fluctuated between low 3% down to under 3%, and that was amazing. It was tough to find resources out there. Now we have a lot of people on the sidelines just either wanting to get back to work, or there's others that are fine collecting the unemployment. Depends on where they are in the employment picture and what type of job they have and what the rate is. But there are some, all these different things come into play, and it's really going to stifle the recovery on the employment side, which in turn for this sector, as I've said, as employment goes, that's how this sector goes.
I understand that that a restaurant needs 80% capacity to generate a profit. And when the governors are saying you can have 25% or 50% capacity, that means you're just losing that much more. So you're better off not opening.
Well, to your point, it's a matter of it's a lot of these locations, if they don't own the real estate, they're tied into lease payments, and that's part of the fixed cost. And, you know, having been in that industry for the majority of my adult career, from whether it was in hotels and restaurants and country clubs, I know that as a restaurant owner, when you look at a dining room, and you know your Fridays and Saturdays, and you're going, you know, gangbusters, and then all of a sudden you're on a Monday or Tuesday, and you have half a dining room. It's like, okay, I should shoot myself now, because you need that capacity in order to remain viable. And you know, the big chains could weather the storm a lot better than the small individual business operator, and that's where we'll see a lot of fatality of businesses in that area. They're saying one out of every four might not make it. In that space. So time will tell. Hopefully we have a faster recovery, and that, again, not to minimize the effects of social injustice and what's going on in the country, but we do need to get things back on track economically. And as they say, when you look at the economy being robust and companies being profitable, it allows for the earmarking of things for social responsibility. So they're not mutually exclusive of one another.
There's another aspect from the retail side, that the larger companies, the JCPenney's, the Macy's, and so on, who are falling by the wayside. I just I got something on the wire yesterday afternoon that CVS Drugs is closing 62 of its stores. So now it's even beginning to hit, pharmacies.
Oh, it's across the board. When you look at these retail establishments, each one of those stores is considered an individual business unit with its own P&L. And when they evaluate that P&L based on where it might be, geographic location, whatever the case is, competition, they do an environmental scan and they look at it and say, hey, it's not profitable, let's shut it down. Better to buy out the lease and get out of it than continue to bleed.
Sure. Anthony, I wouldn't be surprised to hear your 1 in 4 fatality rate for restaurants extend across a lot of small sole proprietorship businesses, because they're the ones that, as you said, are tied into leases, they have fixed overhead, and they have no revenues. It almost doesn't matter what kind of a business it is. You can't stand 2 or 3 months of zero revenues, fixed costs, and hope you're going to make it up later, unless you've got some major contracts coming online to save you.
Absolutely, and I was reading something recently that when businesses should plan to have in their cash reserves 4 to 6 months on hand to plan for things like this. Well, that's easier said than done. The small business operator, he can't keep 4 to 6 months tied up like that. It's all about cash flow, and many of these businesses are hand to mouth, and what makes it even worse is with all the protests and rioting and damage that's resulted to some of these small businesses, it's not even covered under their insurance policy. Acts of God, acts of war, things of rioting, that's not covered in certain policies. I'm not saying all. I'm not making a total blanketed statement, but that's going to be the case for many of these businesses, and they will never recover from this.
Yep. Very true. It's going to be very messy. And what people don't understand, if I have a small business, Lou, what would you say? My average employee headcount is between 5 and 10. And so it's not just me that goes out. It's my employees go out.
Yep.
That's right.
And the composition of small businesses, I know in the state of California, it's 60 percentile range. So, and that tends to kind of be across the country as well, as similar percentages. The backbone of the economy has been built on small businesses. I mean, granted, it may not have the sheer dollar volume and as we see on the corporate side, on the chain side, chain operators. But again, it's a huge portion of the population and the economy that would be impacted by this impact on small businesses.
And Anthony, isn't a great deal of that in the non-manufacturing sector? And you know, maybe we should look at some of the year numbers that you've got in this report.
Absolutely, and you're right. It is in the non-manufacturing sector when you look at the eclectic composition of the various industries that comprise this sector. And you know, looking further on with the indexes. We talked about the four here that make up the NMI, the business activity at 41 is up 15 percentage points month to month, which tells us that we're contracting at a much slower rate. New orders at 41.9, contracting slower as well, up 9 percentage points. Employment did not move much, only 1.8 percentage points. And as I indicated, supplier deliveries keep slowing, but slightly slower rate. It's down 11.3 percentage points, but still at 67% is up there in that rarefied air. And that's not, again, not to be redundant, but that's not based on demand. That is just basically capacity and resources and just not having the available resources and the strain on online distribution and retail. These numbers, again, they're below the 50 baseline. As we know, 50 above 50 is growth and below 50 is contraction, but at least it's getting closer to that baseline when we look at the headline numbers. Inventories are still contracting, just under the 50 baseline. Prices, we're seeing prices up, and this is more about limited supply and more demand on certain commodities. This index is typically driven by fuel and fuel-related, and we see that fuel prices are down across the board. So this is telling you this is more about just the supply issue on certain commodities that are in demand right now. Backlog still in the same area, 46.4, only down 1.3 percentage points. We're seeing both exports and imports continue to contract. And the last index that we measure is sentiment. And to explain that, again, is that sentiment is where they feel those inventory levels relate to their or correlate to their business levels, and they're saying that they're still high based on the current activity. So in summation of this non-manufacturing release, as we've been talking about for the duration of this show, we looked at this as being somewhat toward the path of recovery, bottoming out and perhaps being able to rise out of the ashes, so to speak. But it looks like we're going to have a little bit of a timeline issue as it relates to all the things that are going on right now.
So just to your point and our audience, these numbers are as of a week or two ago, if I'm not mistaken, and all of the bad stuff that's happened has happened this past week. So this is not a good reflection as to where we are today.
And to further that, I mean, not to get into the whole, we don't really reveal all the timing. We ask our respondents as they fill out the survey to do it as late in the month as possible. And when I'm looking at this data, it's literally came in to me right at the same time when this stuff was all hitting. So it did not capture that.
Right.
So we do have it later in the month. However, as we know, this has just all evolved in the last, I'm not saying social injustice has evolved, but this particular catalyst that ignited the powder keg evolved in the last week.
Yeah, so it'll be reflected next month unless some miracle happens on the economic side for the next month's report.
Yep, I would concur with that.
Yeah. Anthony, what are the well, actually, this isn't manufacturing, but I see commodities in short supply in this report, which are disinfectants, disinfectant wipes, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know what's really happening on the manufacturing side. We did not get into this with Tim Fiore, but how those manufacturers are doing now. I don't know if they're running half a shift or double shifts.
Well, it's in this space, and as it relates to some of the suppliers upstream for the non-manufacturing sector, it is where they don't have the full resources of their employees, their team members, and it's in certain commodity areas it becomes a capacity issue, production issue, like on the cleaning products, the disinfectants, the hand sanitizers. It's interesting how these products have been hoarded by some, and it's caused a supply issue. Once we see production back up, I think there'll be a lull in how much is consumed once we get past this pandemic. So it's you can see that the commodities are up in price and short supply are very consistent. It's all along the categories I just mentioned: cleaning supplies, disinfectants, hand sanitizers, wipes, masks, paper products, personal protective equipment, and all those various pieces and articles of clothing and that are associated with PPE, swabs, medical supplies. That seems to be on the short supply side, up in price. Probably the one area that we're seeing come back into the equation is lumber products and OSB, the oriented strand board. This is interesting that we're seeing that, because even though construction had waned, and construction is in this non-manufacturing sector, we're starting to see a little bit of uptick in activity on the housing side. So let's see what happens.
I just saw an item come across the wire 2 seconds ago that the current count of arrests over this past week, over these demonstrations and protests, has now reached 11,000 arrests.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
Nothing at your employee's office, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking, and that's a conservative number based on all the participation, if you think about it.
Yeah, no doubt. Anthony, I'm just wondering, seed stock, agriculture, have you heard anything about how they're recovering? I know they're waiting for beef plant processing plants and chicken processing plants, pork plants to open. My question really is a concern, how many pigs and cows are not making it to market because the animal got too large for the processing plants and they're going to have to destroy it?
Yeah, I think based on product utilization, or I should say on the utilization of that, they may be too big for certain aspects, but they'll find some utilization for it. And I think that it's been a concern about how our food supply will pan out through all of this. And interesting enough, not to go off on a tangent, there are different types and cuts of product, or I should say, like when you look at cattle, there's restaurant institutional usage of cattle versus retail usage. And interesting
right.
enough, the retail side uses the lesser cost meats. You see a lot of ground beef, you see a lot of rounds and things like that, chuck, as part of the steer, whereas, you know, the strip loin and the short loin, where they get, you know, porterhouse from, and T-bones, and the strip loin side is where they get the New York prime and the Kansas City strips, versus the tenderloin side, which comes out of that part of the steer. All the expensive cuts are the ones that we're seeing more of a glut versus the utility or lower end cuts that are more geared for retail. So that's where we're also seeing a certain issue in the market, and that's why restaurants have been pushing their curbside service and doing things such as, you know, finish your steaks at home. It's become a whole kind of supply issue in that regard. And other products are not available. I mean, chicken with the Tyson plant, I shouldn't even mention company names by that, but that's been all over the news about production waning and
right.
plant closures and whatnot, and that's affected poultry production big time. So it's a matter of how soon we get out of this pandemic and we can get back to normal production, and we need people back working so that they can buy the product. So we have, you know, consumer confidence is associated with all this as well. So it's a cycle. It's a circle.
I just cut out an article this morning that I think is very pertinent to what we're talking about, and that is, how do we survive mentally listening to all this bad news? And I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, but I did cut it out, and it's a 4 or 5 page article about how we are to survive and don't listen to all the news, only listen to it certain times. Me, news junkie, I listen to the news almost 24/7. My wife has finally caved in on it. She said, "That's it. I'm done. I said, "Well, I'll feed it to you." I try and feed it to Tim, but it's like trying to feed him Jell-O to an infant. It just falls out of his mouth, and he doesn't want to hear it anymore.
That's right. I'm sick of it. Same damn flavor.
We did have a psychologist on our show a couple weeks ago who was telling us the stories of how, and this was before the social upheaval started, so it's probably gotten worse on the psychological side. But there are people that are really suffering mentally and emotionally and so on.
Well, you know, to give a little plug for Manufacturing Talk Radio and to you two gentlemen, I get a dose of all three. I get reality, I get news, I get levity, I get humor. I that once a month I get it, and that helps me cope until the next time around.
Okay, can we use that as a testimonial?
You just had it right there.
There it is. We're going to do it. We're
going to
do that.
Well, Anthony, I know you've got other news stations nibbling at your heels, so why don't you summarize this report for our listeners, and we'll let you jump to your next call.
Okay, so as we've been discussing, we saw that this month the report on business continues to show contraction in the non-manufacturing sector, albeit the rate is slowing, with all indications that perhaps we've seen the bottom. I think that will be protracted a bit, the timeline that is, as it relates to recovery with the recent civil unrest and social upheaval, as Lou phrased it, and hopefully as a country we can heal and get past this sooner rather than later and get on the road to recovery. All indications are that we were going to see a better recovery, and or I should say a better economic picture in the second half of 2020, which as we are through the month of June, or getting as we start June and we get through the month of June, hopefully we'll be on the right track for that. But all indications are that we'll have to really wait and see what evolves over the next month or two, and how the country reacts to whatever resolution is put in place.
Okay, so we expect to hear champagne bottles bubbling next month when you tell us that everything is A-OK.
From your lips to God's ears.
We need it. Thanks, Anthony, for joining us again on Manufacturing Talk Radio. We always appreciate you being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
And we appreciate the plug, which is going to be converted into a testimonial.
Mike, can I get a half a jacket out of that?
No, you can get your. Well, we do have one that's a little big from a gentleman who was with us years ago. It's about a 44 something or other. And I don't think that'll fit you.
Yeah, it'll be too tight. I'm actually a 46 long, so make sure you write that down.
I got to put it into my iPhone. 46 regular. Okay.
Long.
He's a tall guy, remember?
46 long. Okay, I got it.
I'll have sleeves coming down to my forearm, right?
Yeah, that's right. It'll be easier to get into your pants pocket.
All right, folks, this is great. Some good laughs, great information, and hopefully things will turn better for all. So stay safe, stay healthy, and enjoy your solitude.
And visit us often at jacketmediaco.com to attach to any of our shows and our monthly magazine, and we certainly appreciate all of our viewers and listeners and readers. And you people who were tuned into this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.